An MD-82 accident claims 88 lives in Thailand. Diamond flies its second D-Jet. And Airbus is finally committing to composite for the A350. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 17, 2007. China's state-run news agency is reporting that as many as 88 people were killed and 42 injured when an MD-82 airliner slid off a runway at an airport in southern Thailand Sunday afternoon. The plane, operated by Thai budget carrier 12Go, reportedly carried 123 passengers and 7 crew and was arriving from Bangkok, Thailand. The aircraft is reported to have slipped off the runway, crashed into trees and walls, broken into two sections, then burst into flame. An investigation is underway. Heavy rain, strong winds, and poor visibility were reported at the time of the landing. 4 flights were canceled, and officials said about 1,000 passengers were affected. The airport was expected back in full operation early Monday morning. The accident could have major ramifications for 12Go. A Thai government official claims the airline had no insurance on the flight and could be forced to directly compensate victims. Diamond Aircraft tells ANN that on Friday, D-Jet serial number 002 made its first flight from Diamond's London facility. The flight was conducted by Daniel Ribeiro, chief test pilot, who called the flight safe and smooth. Quote, "During 43 minutes of flight, we checked systems and handling. Flight controls were smooth, with good harmony and light forces. Engine behavior was as expected, with stable performance during accelerations and decelerations. All installed systems worked as planned, and landing gear was retracted during the climb out to the test area. Maximum altitude achieved during the flight was 11,000 feet, unquote. Changes between the first and second D-Jets include the lack of winglets on 002 and the addition of de-icing services on the leading edges of the wing and horizontal and vertical stabilizers. The production spec aircraft also incorporates a pair of small stabilizers on the underside of the empennage, added to the prototype during flight testing, as well as a larger forward windscreen. The D-Jet is a 5-place luxury personal jet aircraft powered by the FADEC Williams FJ-33 turbine and equipped with Garmin all-glass flight deck and autopilot. Airbus, which once accused Boeing of pushing technology too far with its composite fuselage 787 Dreamliner, appears to have decided to follow suit and make its own A350 fuselage from carbon fiber. The composite cabin reduces weight and fuel consumption, simplifies inspections, and allows other improved technologies for control of the cabin environment. The 787 Dreamliner now has reported sales over 700 and is expected to make its first flight late this year. Analysts have said Airbus's original plan, to stick with aluminum for the A350's fuselage, left the 350 at a competitive disadvantage to Boeing and cost Airbus sales. By the time Airbus committed to a redesign, the 350 was a good 5 years behind the 787 in development. The Airbus A350 XWB will be larger than the 787, which is not necessarily seen as an advantage in the plane's market segment. Airbus appears to be gambling that a composite cabin will also make the 350 more competitive against Boeing's larger plane, the 777, which uses a composite tail but an aluminum fuselage. The Reno Air Racing Association Board of Directors and staff has issued a statement expressing condolences to the friends and families of 3 pilots who died at the event last week. Friday morning, 5-time defending champion Gary Hubler died in a mid-air collision during the Formula One competition. The Associated Press reported the pilot of the second aircraft, Jason Soames, was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries after making a successful emergency landing. Hubler was flying Mariah, a Cassatt 3M. Soames was flying Alleycat, an Owl OR-71, according to the Air Race website. 2 judges were also reportedly injured. As ANN reported Thursday, an L-39 Albatross crashed during the jet competition, claiming the life of pilot Brad Morehouse. Initial reports indicate Morehouse's plane may have been caught in the wake of a jet ahead of him. On Tuesday, pilot Steve Derry was lost when his RD-5 biplane, Rose Peregrine, went down just after takeoff on a practice flight. Friday's accident marked the 18th fatality in the 44-year history of the Reno Air Races. Prior to this week, there had not been a fatality at Reno since 2002. Up next on ANN, a Hawker Hurricane is down in a World War II dogfight reenactment. Danish officials say the Q400 problems are Bombardier's fault. And prominent Utah politicians join the fight against user fees. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 17th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A reenactment of a World War II Battle of Britain dogfight was stopped Saturday after a British Hawker Hurricane hit the ground at the Shoreham Air Show in Sussex, England. The pilot who was killed had not been publicly identified as of our deadline. A witness, Tim Deacon, described what happened to the plane. Quote, "The Spitfires and Hurricanes were taking part in a reenactment of a dogfight with some Messerschmitts when suddenly it veered off to the left. It flew off to the left quite steeply, and we saw it crash into the downs in a big fireball just the other side of the A-27. A massive plume of black smoke went up. Moments later, the show stopped, and we heard over the loudspeaker that there had been a crash and there would be a half-hour delay on the proceedings," unquote. The show was suspended for the better part of an hour before continuing in the pilot's honor, with a missing man formation flown to reflect on the events of the day. The accident occurred about 3:23 p.m. local time, on the first day of the annual air show organized by the Royal Air Force Association. The Hawker Hurricane prototype first flew November 6, 1935, 4 months before the first Spitfire. By the start of World War II, nearly 500 Hurricane Mark I's were in the air, supporting 18 squadrons. More than 15,000 Hurricanes were built, including nearly 3,000 sent to the Soviet Union. The last Hurricane rolled off the production line in September of 1944, but continued to see service until 1955. The plane which crashed on Saturday was one of only about a dozen Hurricanes left flying. UK's Air Accidents Investigation Branch will investigate. Fingers of blame are already starting to point in the recent gear collapses of two Bombardier Q400 regional jets. The two cases were the first of their kind for the type, and both jets were owned and maintained by Scandinavian Airlines, which for any statistics major would suggest a close look at maintenance of the SAS planes. Now, the initial report by Danish investigators points to rusty bolts working loose, but oddly, blames that on the manufacturer, not the maintenance program. Thorbjørn Anker of the Danish Civil Aviation Authority was particularly clear, quote, "All speculation that this was an error by SAS is now shown to be wrong. It's a constructional weakness," unquote. Meanwhile, Australia's Qantas has returned its six-plane Q400 fleet to service, after checks revealed no apparent anomalies with its landing gear assemblies. In the U.S., Horizon Air, which depends heavily on the Q400, has issued a modified schedule reflecting a cancellation of about 10% of flights. The regional affiliate of Alaska Air hopes to have inspections complete and return to normal operation by September 25th. The latest announced high-profile opponent for Senate Bill 1300, which would reauthorize the FAA and add user fees for general aviation, is former Utah Senator Jake Garn. He tells the Salt Lake Tribune, quote, "This is the only time since I left the Senate that I wished I was still there so I could talk some common sense into my former colleagues. I think it will have long-term negative impacts on small businesses and communities across the nation," unquote. Current Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, who sits on the Senate Finance Committee, has not said how he will vote. Garn's comments came in support of AOPA's Alliance for Aviation Across America, Other Utahns of note lined up against the Senate bill are Arthur Douglas, president of the Utah Farmers Union, St. George Mayor Daniel MacArthur, and Stephen Thompson, a member of the Logan City Council. The Senate Commerce Committee will take up the bill this week. Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, told an audience of air traffic controllers last week that the common goal of modernizing the nation's air traffic control system has been sidetracked by what he called an unnecessary food fight over FAA funding. Quote, "There's always been enough money for what FAA says NextGen will cost, even though we don't know yet exactly what we're going to buy," unquote. Boyer noted that House Resolution 2881, which would reauthorize the FAA without adding user fees, would provide $5 billion for ADS-B and NextGen over the next 4 years. Boyer called that, quote, "about as much as I would want to give the FAA without knowing exactly what they're going to spend it on," unquote. Boyer warned the controllers that user fees of any size are the start of a move from a, quote, "single, uniform, government-run system with dedicated employees to one where decisions will be made outside the control of our elected officials. It would start us down the road to privatization," unquote. Still ahead, Detroit air traffic controllers sue over mold in the tower. UAVs are playing an ever bigger role for the U.S. Army. And Pratt & Whitney reports progress on a hypersonic ramjet. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 17, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Tower controllers at Detroit Metro Airport have filed a lawsuit in Wayne County Circuit Court against 8 companies involved in an attempt to clean up mold at the facility, according to the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. NATCA claims several controllers have missed significant amounts of work and continue to suffer breathing and other serious health problems due to exposure to the toxic black mold. As ANN reported, controllers there already filed an ethics complaint against the FAA in May 2006 over the issue. The recent suit alleges contractors hired by the FAA failed to properly remove mold, provide a work plan for effective removal of mold contamination, have a certified industrial hygienist present during remediation, conduct proper testing including clearance testing, and failed to advise the FAA of deficiencies in their efforts to remediate the mold. The complaint also alleges that toxic mold remains in the building. If the use of unmanned aircraft in war has seemed a long time coming, the technology would now appear to be in a steep ramp up. The Air Force Times reports that the Army has now recorded its first kill using a UAV. On September 1st, the service reports calling in a Hunter unmanned craft to attack 2 men observed planting a roadside bomb. The UAV dropped a laser-guided bomb, killing both men. The Times reports the number of UAVs in combat has risen from 1,000 a year ago to 1,350 today, a 35% increase in 12 months. The number of remote terminals which provide a UAV's eye view to ground troops is up fivefold in the same period, from 200 to 1,000. Apache helicopters will reportedly have the terminals by next summer, giving pilots the ability to see into remote areas before they fly there. The Army's current Hunter UAV is diesel-powered and weighs about a ton, operates at up to 15,000 feet, and can fly missions as long as 21 hours. The Warrior UAV, which will begin testing in May, will operate at up to 25,000 feet on missions as long as 36 hours and carry up to 800 pounds of munitions. Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne says it has successfully tested a technology which will make possible hydrocarbon-fueled ramjet engines which can operate at speeds up to Mach 6. Development testing, which began in November of 2006 and concluded earlier this month, demonstrated the operability and performance required for operation from Mach 2.5 to Mach 6.0. The technology is being developed under contract with Lockheed Martin for the Falcon Combined Cycle Engine Technology Program, aimed at developing and demonstrating hypersonic technologies to enable prompt global reach missions. A dual-mode ramjet transitions between subsonic and supersonic modes of operation, which allows the use of the same engine for both supersonic and hypersonic flight. And finally, if you really want to tweak some noses at the next meeting of your homeowners association, tell them you're applying to build a house out of a retired Boeing 747. Aviation Week predicts that as production finally catches up to demand for new passenger airliners over the next 5 years, middle-aged 747-400s will be released for conversion to freighters, and some of the oldest 747-200s will be retired in droves. The magazine estimates you could buy one, gutted of engines and cockpit, for about $100,000. About the only place they'd fit aesthetically would be mobile home parks. Hey, that's it! You could be the first on your block to say you live in a double-wide body. And that's the latest from Aero News. Hey, maybe Kate Hennai would buy one for her stranding. Remember to check out the ANN special feature today. It's my weekly chat with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, and we'll talk about the dangers facing instrument pilots with limited actual experience in IMC. And also, we'll talk about why you should learn to fly with no hands. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.